Let's talk about how to run your course business as simply as possible while still being extremely profitable. You need to have traffic coming in that you have in a systemized way so that it doesn't take up much of your time each week. You need to have an evergreen sales funnel. You need to have a killer offer that you put in front of your leads at the end of your funnel. And you have to have your course or membership itself. When you have these pieces and you do them well, you can have a profitable online course business set up for you for years to come. Christina Umarez set up these pieces in her business over 2 years ago. And once she had all these pieces in place, she immediately started making 5 figures per month in her business and has been making at least $15,000 per month every month for over 2 years now, working very little on it each week. We last featured Christina on the show back in episode 188, shortly after she had launched, and today she's joining us again 2 years later with an update. And the truth is, her business looks very similar to how it did back then, and everything just keeps working for her. Stay tuned.
Regular people are taking their knowledge and content, packaging it up in an online course, and they're making a living doing it. But not everyone is successful with online courses. There's a right way and there's a wrong way, and I'm here to help course creators actually succeed with online courses. Hi, I'm Jacques Hopkins, and this is the Online Course Show.
Hello and welcome to the Online Course Show. I'm your host, Jacques Hopkins, and I'm pumped to be hanging out with you today. Today, we have a repeat guest on the show. I wanted to have Christina come back on and share some updates because sometimes with the stories that we share here, it's just a blip in time and you wonder how the story continues or if it continues at all. Maybe she just got lucky with some initial success and things quickly fizzled out. Well, fortunately, I'm happy to report that is not what happened for Christina. In this conversation, you'll hear about the tweaks that she has made over the past couple of years. The most interesting one of note is her transition from TikTok as her main traffic source to really going all in on YouTube. You'll hear about why she did that and what her workflow looks like with those traffic sources. And she's seeing a lot of success with YouTube. A lot of great wisdom here from Christina on sustaining success with a course business while working minimally and traveling the world. Let's get into it. What's up, Christina? Welcome back to the Online Course Show.
Thank you. Long time no chat.
I know. It's been, since on the podcast, it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah, which is insane. It's been 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I've been seeing your videos everywhere. Like, you're popping up on my podcast feed. You're popping up on my YouTube feed.
Oh, that's awesome.
How are things? How's business?
It's been going really good. Yeah, things have been like shifting a lot. Like I said, it feels like maybe I've worked for myself for like a few months, but the fact that it's been, yeah, now over 2 years since you and I even like chatted is just crazy with how much has gone on in the last little bit.
What's going on lately? Like, any big changes, or is it mostly just more of the same?
It's been mostly more of the same, like growing. Obviously, when you and I first met, I was on TikTok, kind of a phased off of TikTok, and YouTube's been my new like fun channel to grow, or the thing that I've been focusing on the most. Since last we chatted, lots and lots of travel has kind of gone on in the last little bit, and planning my next few trips. Having super fun with just getting out in the world.
Mm. So how are you managing to work and travel? Is it mostly just like a pretty passive and lifestyle type business, or are you just working a lot in the places you go?
A little of both. Like, I've kind of worked out my schedule and like build my business around the whole idea of like, I don't want to be tied down to a time zone. I still really enjoy like working and traveling. Like, I realize I don't like the go, go, go travel. I go somewhere, stay for at least a month or two in each like city, find my co-working space, find the coffee shops I love. I don't like moving every week. So this has just been like the perfect trade-off, I guess.
And where are you right now?
Right now I'm home, but I'm leaving for Belize in 2 weeks and I just got back. So
right on. Right. So you're back in Toronto.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. We were back for a little bit and then we realized we came back too early this year because it was freezing this week. And now we're like, okay, when do we leave next?
That's fair. Let's talk about traffic
because you have always been, or I say always, in the past couple of years, like you're one of those success stories that I mentioned to people about short form video content being one way to do really well with ultimately selling online courses. Did you really get off of short form video at this point?
Not really. I'm still uploading to TikTok, but not quite. Like before, I was trying to do 2 to 3 videos a day. Now that's maybe 1 a week. So it's changed from like every afternoon was like, this is my TikTok filming time, to it's like, I've got a video idea right now. I'll just quickly film one, I guess.
Were you were really up to 3 a day? That sounds like a recipe for burnout.
Oh yeah, it was a lot. Trying to come up with ideas, and then like there was like 2 hours a day where I'm just scrolling through TikTok and like, okay, that's a trending sound. The good thing is trending sounds would help a lot. I would just lip sync something and write a like, relevant caption, I guess, which helps get out like a good 2/3 of those.
Wow. Okay. So when did you make the decision? When and why did you kind of pivot to YouTube?
Just, I had noticed that a lot of people were starting to kind of make the shift. When I first joined TikTok in the very end of 2021, like 2022, I noticed like everything was majorly kicking off. And then as a lot more people joined, my videos weren't quite going as viral, but there were still some of them were just still doing amazing. And back then, we couldn't make a video longer than like a minute. There's so many things I wanted to say to people that were like way past a minute. So I started just like uploading those ones to YouTube where like I couldn't explain in a 1 minute video, and then just shooting people over there. And then that started getting traction, and I just started seeing the power of YouTube as well. And I never thought I would be a short form person. And then when I did short form, I never thought I would be a long form YouTube person. And that's kind of just been my own like personal growth of getting comfortable in front of a camera.
What have you noticed? And let me set this question up this way as well, is you I think familiar with Spencer Russell as well. And he was, and still is, all over short form social media, 1.5 million followers. You know, he made the transition to YouTube a year or two ago as well. He didn't really change what he was doing on short form. He was adding YouTube to what he was already doing. And he very quickly got to like 500,000 subs.
Insane. Yeah.
Insane. Insane. I'm like, Spencer, you've been on it for 2 minutes. I've been on it for 10 years. I'm at like 100,000 followers, subscribers. But he noticed like, this is just one person's experience, but he didn't see many like conversions from that, right? He didn't see any additional course sales coming from that. It seemed like his audience was really, really good on the short form video. And so he kind of stopped YouTube. Mm-hmm. What have you noticed?
So I have noticed it brings in the two different groups of people. And it actually has been a reason I've also changed up my course structure a little bit. The people who I found on, or have found me through short form content, had never heard of what I do, which is print on demand. So people had never, this was their first time hearing about this side hustle business. So they really wanted the beginner course, right from what is Etsy, how to set up Etsy, versus the YouTube group. They know so much already. They've already watched all the long form videos. They're probably have already started their story. They were a lot more knowledgeable. So they didn't like the short form or the beginner course as much. They wanted a little bit more advanced, and they wanted community. So now I've also have my course, and then I have an additional community on top of that to appease those people who are just looking for others doing the same thing and for more like one-on-one support.
So you created an entirely new offer?
It's kind of an additional offer. So I have my course, which has everything, and then they get 2 free months of my membership, which is questions with me, calls. Right now, we're just introducing co-working hours altogether. And then after the 2 free months, then it's a paid membership if they want to continue with that. But they always have the course. But now there's just that extra layer for people who want community.
Yeah, you added a whole continuity program. You added a membership here, right? And the premium offer includes 2 months free into that. Is there another way to enter into the membership besides that?
Nope, not right now. I might be working on a way, but I'm working, trying to figure out exactly how that would look to not make it too muddled, I guess. Because right now, it's like everyone in the community already has a standard basis of knowledge. They've all watched the course. So it's more like individual questions, like, can I get feedback on this thing? Instead of repeating things that like people already know, everyone knows the course basis. So I think that's really helped to make it like a high tier membership, in my opinion. So not having the course attached is where I've been like considering, but not sure how to take that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like what you've got is working. You've got essentially two offers that you put in front of people, right? Two tiers, maybe even two tiers of the same offer. How are you presenting those? Are you presenting those at the same time? Hey, here's your two choices. Or is it like you're putting one offer in front of a certain group and another offer in front of another group?
No, it's all kind of together. So when I'm advertising the course now, it's like it's an extra bonus and get 2 free months of our insider membership. Here's all the thing. Like all the benefits. When they sign up to the course, there's a check button if they want to enroll in the membership as well, in which they're automatically enrolled. And then it's kind of, they'll have to let me know within that 2 months if they want to cancel. Otherwise, they are automatically charged for the next month or on the third month. So it's like an
option. So it's a checkbox. It's a checkbox where they don't have to pay anything extra right now.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know that I've quite seen it like that. How long ago did you implement this?
Probably a year ago.
Okay. So you can give me some information about churn and all that. How's it working out?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. I need to take a look at my numbers, but I think I've got like, it's a good, I'd say 30% of my revenue every month is now just in these recurring subscriptions, which is fantastic. Just if I don't make any course sales that month, I still have this community group that's like keeping my numbers up at the same time, which really helps.
Is that a thing? Do you go through months without making course sales?
No, but still, it's nice to have if something happened.
So let's talk about pricing. I think the last that you mentioned back, you were on episode 188 of the podcast, you were at, I believe, $350 US. For the course, and there was also a payment plan. Is that still your pricing?
I've gone slightly up, not by much. It's $397 without the payment plan. If you do the payment plan, I think it comes to like $440 or something. But
good, and then they can check a box and get 2 months free in the membership. How much do they pay monthly if they stick around?
$39.99 US a month after.
How many active people do you have in the membership?
Think 80 to 100 at a time, I'd say.
Amazing. What software are you using to run the membership?
So it's another thing that I've currently changed. So it was the Kajabi groups before. So the Kajabi community. I'm actually transitioning that to, you probably know this name, Heartbeat. This week, I've actually just been starting the transition because I do not like the Kajabi community at all. It's not so great. So I did a March break challenge last week with my group where we all just had co-working hours, hopped on calls, set our like goals together. And we did that within a heartbeat and people were like, we need to move over. This is so much better.
I'm a huge fan of Kajabi. You know that. Yeah. Huge fan. I couldn't dislike their community any more than I do. Their community is awful.
It's
their
not
new community.
Great. Yeah.
It's not good. I tried it and it was an awful experience. We moved to school. Heartbeat, from what I've seen, is really cool. Sounds like you've been talking to Hugo. You've been talking to Hugo
I have
a little bit.
Some calls with Hugo who convinced me into Heartbeat. Yep.
Hugo's in my coaching program right now. He's amazing. Shout out to Hugo. And for the people in my coaching program, he kind of spearheaded Heartbeat. I hadn't heard of it, but it looks really cool. And other people, have jumped on that bandwagon as well. It's got some similarities to School. I've really enjoyed using School, but Heartbeat looks really cool too. And both, just as far as running a community with live events and interaction and all that, is far superior to Kajabi. Whereas Kajabi, in my opinion, does a lot of other things very, very well. Now, are you still on Kajabi for order forms and landing pages and things like that?
Yes, I am. So the transition right now, I've just removed that checkbox a checkbox, which before led to my Kajabi community, now just leads to, once they check it, they get a link to my Heartbeat group. So all the payments are still through Kajabi until I work out that system, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. That's how I run my OCG business as well. Everything's in Kajabi, except we broke out the fulfillment piece. Once somebody buys, everything else is handled through school. For the people that are like just in the course that aren't in the membership, is that still being delivered in Kajabi, or that you're moving that to Heartbeat as well?
That will probably be also in Heartbeat. Right now I have a separate Facebook group for some of those people. But there's just too many moving pieces. I found a way to break in at Heartbeat into like the free group and the membership group, and they can see all of it, which I really liked about it. It's like, if you're in the non-paying group, you can see kind of what's locked off to you, to kind of give you a little bit of that FOMO and see what's happening behind the paywalls.
So talk me through the typical process of somebody kind of discovering you to eventually buying your course. What does that process look like?
Yeah. So for some people, I'll say some people start on the short form content. Now some people start on the YouTube content. So for people finding me through content, I'd say is the most popular way. Then usually under my YouTube videos, or if you go to my TikTok under my links, I usually advertise my webinar, which is still the one we created 2 years ago. that one's still running with my horrible camera, which I really need to go fix. I've been a little bit too lazy to refilm that whole thing.
It's literally the same exact webinar, like exactly. for 2 years. Like, you haven't even added the thing about the membership?
I've changed that. The only thing I went and changed was like the offering. I just changed up the clip. But like, that was like 5 minutes of 50 minutes of whatever, how long that webinar was. So yeah, they watch the webinar. I have a few other lead magnets that have done well from different YouTube videos, like just some like freebies that people would need to start their print-on-demand business. Enter my email funnel, and then that's when I pitch the course, see if they want to join. And then from there, if they're able to join the membership, should they want to, which I would at least use the 2 free months that you're getting. And yeah.
Okay. So if they opt in for one of the freebies, not the webinar, right? Cause it sounds like sometimes you'll make a video where there's, let me try to guess, like you're showing them how to make a certain thing in Canva. And then at the end, you're like, if you want this template, you can download it for free, something to that effect, yep. Right? Okay.
That's very, so they very go in, close.
They go in and they give you their email and you deliver the thing. Give me some more details about what happens next. Are you trying to get them to watch the workshop still, or are you just pitching the course?
Yeah. So once they actually sign up on those pages, so like, get your freebie. The next page that you're brought to is like, also, I have this webinar if you want to watch it. And then in my email, first email that goes out to them as well, it's, here's your file. Also, if you want to learn more about print on demand, watch this. And then I think I have one more video. It was like, just a reminder, I have this video if you want to check out how to get started. And then after that, they just get put into the same kind of flow I had before about pitching the course and the Q&As. Mm. Also, what we had created 2 years ago that I've been meaning to go back and revisit, but it's still working.
It sounds like it's working. Are you still using eWebinar for the webinar?
I am, yes. I've kind of turned off the comments to minimize my workload on that end. So it's kind of just running like a regular webinar, but I've just never moved it over. It's worked really well for me. People like it because they can still write me questions and I'll get sent to my email that I can answer to. And people just seem to like the look of eWebinar.
It sounds like, unless I'm missing something, it sounds like you've got everything set up like very simply. Like, it's a very simple, well-oiled machine. You create content, you're doing content marketing, and let's talk about how you're getting people from there into the funnel. Are you giving a call to action on every single video, or just some of them, or what?
The ones where it makes sense. So the ones where I'm talking about print on demand, like some of them I'm talking about Canva hacks, things that don't necessarily tie back to print on demand, but could be used for print on demand. Those I don't really pitch it too much, though. If you read my descriptions in my video, I still always have my affiliate links, my link to my webinar. But on more like print on demand YouTube videos, my pinned comment will be, hope you enjoyed this video. If you wanted to learn more about print on demand, I have a free training available here. Register. So I've got like it both in my description and on the first comment on my YouTube video that's usually pinned.
Okay. Any idea how many opt-ins you're getting like per day?
I don't know per day. I could probably do the math, but I get about 180 people watching the webinar a month. I bet get okay. about 300 to 400 from some of my like my freebies. So I probably get about 600 opt-ins right now per month-ish. Need to double check that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if that's the case, that's about 20 a day, which is like, it's extremely good, but it's not like an insane amount either.
Yeah.
And as far as like, I mean, you're the majority of your revenue from the course business, because obviously you've got your print on demand business as well, is coming from course sales and membership sales, right? You mentioned the memberships were maybe 30% of your revenue in a given month. Do you mind sharing some ballpark numbers? I mean, we're still talking five figures a month, multiple five figures a month in sales.
Yeah, depends on, I would say average, I'm making about 15K off of the course and membership. That's on a slower month where I'm not really doing too much advertising. And then when I've been running like email campaigns now, like for New Year's, I ran one, which is like get 30% off plus get these extras as like a start your year off right. So running, usually when I run like these email campaigns with discounts, I usually get quite a bit more, usually about 10K more a month when I'm running those discount and like setting up a full like 7 to 10 day email campaign around those.
Okay. So if you don't do any special promotions or campaigns, we're talking minimum 15K a month, almost entirely profit, right?
Yep. Yep. For course stuff. Yeah.
No paid ads?
Nope. Never done paid ads for these.
So your expenses are the Kajabi, eWebinar, you're about to add Heartbeat, Deadline Funnel, using Deadline Funnel still. I mean, that's your main software stack, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think there's that much extra.
What else are you spending any money on? You have a team at all?
I do now. So I have my okay. first VA who's now worked for me just over a year. She's fantastic. She's like, I hired her last December, has helped me so much because a lot of my time is now focused on the course and talking to people, but I still have my print on demand business, which is now both on Shopify and on Etsy. So the customer service, she fully handles that. She handles my listings on there and she helps in the course as well, moving things over. She watches all my videos. I have an editor as well. So she talks with the editor and they work to get the videos edited, proofread, and posted together. So that's been a huge game changer as well.
How did you find this person?
Onlinejobs.ph.
So full-time Filipino?
Yep. She started at first just like 2 hours a day, just helping me with like the print-on-demand customer service. And she was just fantastic. I was like, I have to have you full-time. So I'm just like, she helps with every part of my business now.
You paid her a visit? You made it to the Philippines yet?
Not yet. I'm going in either January or February. I'll probably be going up there. Amazing. I haven't bought the tickets yet, but that's the plan.
So I want to jump back to the term you mentioned a couple of times now. You mentioned co-working hours. And this is a concept I'm a little new to. One thing we do in my program, we didn't really do this when you were a part of it, but a lot of times, pretty much monthly, we'll have an outside expert come into my program and do a workshop on a various topic. And sometimes it's very technical, like TikTok or a specific type of funnel. Other times it's a little more self-helpy, like we've done one on sleep. And our most recent one was on overcoming procrastination and perfectionism. And the person that we had come in, she's been on the podcast, her name is Grace Broder, mentioned that as part of her program, she does these co-working hours like multiple times a week. That's one of the big things that is part of her program because she's helping people like overcome procrastination. Apparently, that's a good tool for that.
Yeah.
And what she told me is that it's basically like a Zoom session where people get on and everybody's quiet because they're working on something. They're trying to achieve a goal in an hour or 2 hours. And when you know, like, other people are there and kind of watching and doing it with you, you, like, studies show that you're more productive. Is that a fair assessment of these co-working hours? So that is something you offer inside of your program as well, is what you're saying.
Yeah. The only thing I don't do is I don't do the camera, just because I think, like, we still have our calls every once in a while. I know people would just talk in my group. A lot of us, we love to chat. So right now it's a live chat that we're all in, where you sign in, like, okay, I'm logging in. This is what I'm working on today. They can post questions in there as they're working, so they can get, like, on time feedback, like, in the moment, like, how are my titles for this? How is this? Is it, like, how can I better this design? So for me, it's not really co-working, as I'm answering questions. But for some people, they just log in. Before they log out, they write what they accomplished. And it started off just as a challenge. Yeah. For March break, we just did it every single day. I did not think people would like it or use it. And then the feedback was incredible. Everyone was like, this is invaluable. Like, I would stay part of this community just for this. Can we keep doing this? So I was like, I guess this has to be a new thing. So now it's every Monday.
Incredible. I'm attending one of Grace's tomorrow to see how she does it. That's why I was really curious how you do it. My understanding is she does it on Zoom, and then you can either have your camera on or off. It doesn't really matter. But that's, I want to almost selfishly maybe make it a part of my program so that I can be more productive for that 2 hours or whatever. But you're saying that it's also an opportunity for people to ask you questions, or maybe your team questions. So you're not really using it as a co-working space, but it's a value add to your membership.
Yeah, exactly. I can get, like, luckily I have two screens so I can use it. And sometimes there will be, like, an hour period where no one does ask a question. And then someone asks, like, five questions because they got stuck. But that was the thing, is a lot of people are going through the process. They get stuck here, don't know how to continue, versus now you can have an answer if you're working within these hours, like, in that second of, like, hey, how is this title for Etsy? And be like, change this, change that, save it. So it's more productive hours. And for people who are just getting started opening their Etsy shops, it's like really helpful, because they might have something really specific that they're stuck on. And Etsy is always changing. So just a value add, I guess.
But you mentioned that you have, like, a Q&A session as well, though, right?
I do.
So wouldn't they come to that with their questions?
That is every 2 weeks. That one's, like, I guess the bigger questions, when it's like, when should I do this? But it's not like, look at this individual title, Christina, give me feedback. It's like more, I guess, high level strategy we're usually talking about in those meetings. Plus half of the meeting as well is usually just updates, again, because Etsy and print on demand has just been changing so much lately. So half of it lately has just been like, here's what's changed this week. And the next half is questions, or someone's asked me to do a more in-depth tutorial. So sometimes those just get filled up.
What are you struggling with?
Struggling with? I can always think of these. Still, sometimes just the imposter syndrome. It's kind of,
No, come on, not you.
It always happens. I've joined recently and it's been a fantastic, but joining and meeting a lot of the really big print-on-demand YouTubers. We're all in a group. We're all doing trips together. Some of them are massive people in there, which is really cool to see. But then you have, like, other people in your group who said they've chosen you over someone else. And you just have the, like, am I smarter than someone else? I don't know. Like, I think at any stage you're going to hit that, especially just meeting people who are bigger than you and, like, doing more things. Like, I met some of them who are hosting a call every single day. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Are people going to leave? Because I don't want to do that.
How comfortable at this point do you feel like you are on camera?
On camera, a lot better. In person, that's when I can freak out a little bit. I don't know if I could do an in-person. I've never done public speaking yet. I do stuff like this where I don't see hundreds of people. I just see one person and then, or I see myself and then people watch it without me seeing it. I won't even let my fiance watch my videos in front of me. I don't want to watch it back.
You got engaged. You didn't tell me that. Congratulations.
Oh yes, I got engaged. Yes.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Fantastic. That's great news. And look, I mentioned my podcast feed earlier. Like, I saw you were on Pat Flynn's podcast. I think you've been interviewed on other shows as well. Kind of making the rounds. Like, that's a huge podcast. Like, how do you get on something like that? Are you actively trying to get on podcasts, reaching out, or was it something else?
No, that one was so lucky. I've done a few that have been like reached out to me before. But yeah, the Pat Flynn one was just like, oh, that was probably the biggest one and the most nervous I've been. And that one was because I partner with Printify, who is the print on demand supplier. I do a lot of work with them, make YouTube videos with them for them. I use them for my business. And I think they were the ones chatting with SPI, and they reached out to me and they were like, we're looking for someone to speak about us with SPI. They're like, would you be open to it? I'm like, yes, that's me. Don't ask anyone else. Yes, I will do it. So I think I answered the fastest, and I was able to kind of be their spokesperson. Not that, again, I use them. They're people I would use no matter if I worked with them or not. I was talking about them before I even had a partnership with them. So I was more than happy to go on that for them.
Yeah, really cool. Just popping up in my regular podcast feed. There's definitely their name. Wait, so can you tell me about the engagement, like how it happened?
Yeah, so it happened. So last year we did a 6-month trip. That was my biggest trip, Southeast Asia. So we stayed in like Bali, Thailand, and Vietnam for a few months. And we had 1 month, which was incredible. We got like 10 of our friends to come down to Bali. My sister, all my best friends, and we had a villa. And then we went to this island called Nusa Penida in Bali. And it's just like this beautiful, like, beaches and cliffs. And we went to go watch the sunrise one morning, and all the guys were in on it, and they started playing music. And I always laugh because as my fiance was proposing, there was these two random dogs at the top of this mountain that, as he proposed, came and sat on both sides of him. I was like, this is so weird, but it was a very cool moment. Then we just had a fantastic hiking day. It was on a place, on a beach called Diamond Beach, which was very fitting.
Sounds amazing. Congratulations once again. You know, I used to have a co-host for this podcast, Dr. K, and one like vision, one idea he always had that he wanted to do was start a podcast where he just shared people's like engagement stories. He just loved engagement stories. Aww. So if he's listening to this, I'm sure it would make me think of it as like, oh, for Dr. K, I need to ask what her engagement story was.
Could definitely talk about it. It was a fantastic day. It was great.
Sounds magical. So what would happen, do you think, to your business if you just kind of stopped, right? You're like, I'm kind of done with this. I'm just going to collect passive income. What would happen?
I don't always know. So I think the print on demand could go quite a while. That one put in a little less work. The course, now that there's such a membership, I'm not sure that one would survive as much, especially because I always even thought like YouTube was going to bring you in money forever. Like even if you stop making videos, which has kind of been proven not to be the case, they'll majorly drop off your views if you stop posting. I don't know if you've heard of Vanessa Lau. Really like her. She kind of quit YouTube for a year and then has come back talking about her stats and saying, yeah, pretty much a lot kind of fell off over the time that she stopped posting.
No, I'm familiar with Vanessa Lau. She's got a huge YouTube channel, big with courses. I'm not familiar with the specific like numbers and stuff you're talking about. So anything you can share it would be amazing. Like basically what you're suggesting is that even though she had a huge YouTube channel, she stopped posting completely and her numbers tanked?
I think they tanked a lot more for short form. They dropped still a bit for YouTube for everything, but some of her videos on YouTube Reels still made a killing. So she still went up, I think, or kind of stayed flat in subscribers. I'll need to send you the video. She posted a full video like what my stats were after quitting mm-hmm. YouTube for a year. So she's like broke down every single number. I can't remember because I watched it like a month or so ago. But to do something like that, I think I would have stopped selling courses probably since I couldn't offer the one-on-one like consultation, and things are always changing. If anything, I would say if I'm sick of doing courses, I would just do YouTube. I've been having a lot of fun just doing YouTube. I think that's where I would kind of go. I wouldn't want to stop YouTube.
I'm logging into my Piano in 21 Days YouTube channel right now because I don't do a lot with Piano in 21 Days anymore. It still makes five figures a month, like clockwork.
That's awesome.
I'm looking to see, and the majority of the traffic we do get comes from YouTube. I'm looking to see the last time we posted a video. You want to take a guess?
No, because you're asking that it was maybe like 6 months ago.
No, it's roughly the last time you were on this podcast, October 2022. It's been almost 2 years since I've even posted a video.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So would it be doing better if I have been posting videos in the past 2 years? Probably. But it's still sustaining a very healthy business.
Yep. It's still going.
Yeah. I think, I put kind of YouTube in more of the medium form content. Now you can have long form content on YouTube, certainly. I mean, I post these interviews on YouTube. That's long form content. But the types of piano videos that I post on YouTube, I would consider more, medium length content, 5 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I feel like the longer form content it is, maybe the more sustaining it is, right? Like a podcast can last longer. YouTube can last longer, but the short form content. But although you said Vanessa Lau, like her, some of her short form content actually did really well while she took a break. So yes, I don't know. Who knows anything
reels
anymore?
Reels are interesting sometimes. I've had ones that like did nothing and then like 6 months later got 100K views in 2 days. One recently did that. I don't understand YouTube reels fully.
Yeah. But I guess the reason I was asking the question is you have this YouTube strategy and you're putting at least the link to your webinar and your funnels underneath all your videos and your funnel is all automated. You've turned the comments off the webinar. I imagine if you just kind of stopped and maybe turn off the membership, you'd be making sales for quite some time. I'm not suggesting
going,
that.
Yeah, but not to what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about what it would take to grow. Because I mean, a consistent, minimum 15K a month, with this type of business is incredible. But let's talk about some of the things it might take to grow it. And I want to ask it to you this way. If a new CEO came in and took over for you, what would be the next like 2 to 3 things they would do for growth?
I would guess they would probably do paid ads. I've had a very big block to doing paid ads because without me, I don't know why. I just like having the content out there, but I've definitely talked to people like, you should be doing paid ads. I think that would probably be the next place someone would take it. And then I'm not sure. I think that would probably be the biggest one someone would try to like grow. They would definitely take a look at my emails. I am not a great email writer at all. Those email campaigns, my least favorite thing ever. Recently listening to the ClickFunnels guy. What you said earlier, Russell Brunson?
Russell Brunson, yeah.
Yeah, about how you should be writing an email every day. I struggle to even write 2 sentences a week in an email. I hate them. So probably getting an email person would probably be a next logical step as well to kind of grow.
Very cool. All right. Well, you're doing amazing still. It's so good to catch up and hear the updates and whatnot. Like there are some new things you're doing, but a lot is just, chugging along, still working. That's amazing. You're familiar with the audience. Any other advice or words of encouragement with the type of person listening to this that maybe isn't quite doing as well as you that wants to be and is motivated by your story?
Yeah. Like for me, and one thing that I've noticed with every single business, it's a matter of just sticking to it. Like YouTube took me a really long time to grow and to start. Print on demand took me a really long time to grow and to start. But if you're like committed to it and actually like learning every day, like you're going to end up seeing results. You might not see it in the first month or 2 months. And another thing that I did not do is start your email list early. I literally waited until I had a course to sell before I started realizing I should probably get people on an email list. And that set me back because I think when we launched, I didn't have many people at all. And I still did well having maybe like, I think maybe 2,000 people when we launched my course 2 years ago. So small email list is still fine, but just start building it up in the easiest way possible. Just offer something little you can make in Canva. It doesn't have to be a webinar like I have. I think my first thing was literally just a checklist before we had the course to just get some people on the email list, just give some value.
Last thing, I don't think we've even mentioned like your brand name or your website or anything. If somebody wants to learn more, watch your webinar, possibly is interested in what you have to teach, where can people go?
Yep. So you can find me on both TikTok and YouTube at CUOnline. That's C.U.online.
Thanks, Christina. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, that's a wrap. It was such a pleasure catching up with Christina again. Christina was part of my beginner program back a couple of years ago. I helped her set up her course, her funnel, her offer, and so on initially. And it's so great to hear how well those things are still working for her. Inside my program, we really focus on setting things up for long-term success. And I think today's story was a great example of that. Now, when I say that, I don't want you to think that I'm taking all the credit for her success by any means. Christina worked hard and is one of the best students that I've ever had. But sometimes a little guidance, coaching, and feedback on what you're working on can make all the difference. And if you want those things too, I'd be honored to have the opportunity to work with you as well on your own course business. My Genesis program is for those getting started with online courses and includes step-by-step instruction as well as feedback and coaching from me and my team so you can shortcut your path to a profitable course business as well as to just maximize your success. To learn more about Genesis, head to iwantgenesis.com. That's iwantgenesis.com. For the links and notes from today's episode, you can find our show notes by going to oc.show/224. And if you want to go back and listen to the last time Christina was featured on the show back shortly after she had initially launched, scroll back in your podcast feed down to episode 188. For that, this has been episode 224 of the Online Course Show. Thank you so much for listening and supporting my work here. Don't forget to take action on what you've heard here today. I'm rooting for you.